You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York.
All right, everyone. We are going to start confirmation class session 3. And as always, I want you to focus on 3 questions that we are going to be answering while we go through it. And those 3 questions are, do I believe what I am hearing? Number 1. Number 2, is that belief evident in my behavior? And number 3, is that behavior bearing fruit in the lives of others? We want all 3 of those to be true of us. We want to believe what we're hearing about God. We want that belief to be evident in our behavior, as we will talk about tonight. And we want that behavior to not just be a personal, moral success, but we want that behavior to be bearing fruit in the lives of other people. Jesus believed in God, as Brian Zahn says, Jesus believed in God. It was evident in his behavior, and his behavior has been bearing fruit in our lives ever since. So let's pray, and then we will enter into tonight's first of 2 classes. Father God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to the hearing of your word, to understanding the faith that we are a part of and its history. And I pray that we would leave these classes with a renewed commitment to serve you, to serve those around us, and to have a deep and unyielding joy in what it has taken to allow the church to still be here 2,000 years later. All the work, all the sacrifice, all the self-denial, and I pray that we would just be appreciative that we are part of such a historic and world-changing tradition. In your name, amen. So tonight's first of 2 classes is called the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant. And we will start with this. What is meant by a covenant with God, and what is the Old Covenant? A covenant is a relationship initiated by God, to which a body of people respond in faith. A covenant is a relationship initiated by God, to which a body of people responds in faith. The Old or First Covenant is found in the pages we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. Sometimes the entire Old Testament is referred to as the Old Covenant, and the New Testament is referred to as the New Covenant. But for the sake of terminology, the Old Covenant is found in the pages we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. Outside of Adam and Eve, which we won't get down into that because it can get us into like a deep, complex philosophy of when did the Old Covenant begin, but we're going to look at 2 texts from Genesis to see the origins of the first covenant that God made with humanity. After the fall, God chooses another person, Abraham, and begins the process of developing a covenant with him to bring restoration back to the earth. And it says this in Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." And then a little bit later, angels appear to Abraham and they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But the way that they talk to Abraham is part of the covenant. Genesis 18, 16 to 19. "Then the men," or the angels, "set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." So Adam and Eve fail. At that point, God turns to Abraham and begins a covenant with Abraham for Abraham to obey and become the father of a nation. And God will choose that nation to then bless the rest of the world. So Exodus 19 and 20, by Exodus 19 and 20, Abraham has become the people of Israel, and God is now having them in the wilderness, and he makes a covenant with them at Mount Sinai to be his treasured people, so that the promises God made to Abraham to bless all the nations of the earth would be fulfilled. So God works through a person, and he works through a people, and he always does both, never one over the other. He always works with a person, and he always works with a people. This is one of the reasons why our personal devotion is important, but this is also why our corporate worship is important, because neither of them work without the other. God calls Abraham, God also calls Israel. He always calls a person, and he always calls a people, and we need both. The next question is, where is this old covenant to be found? Where is this old covenant to be found? The covenant with the Hebrew people is to be found in the books, which we call the Old Testament. Some of this is quite simple, but important. The Old Testament is the book of God's covenant with Israel, and also the primary Christian scriptures after Jesus rose from the dead. So this is also a very important part. The Old Testament, or what we call the Old Testament, is the book of God's covenant with Israel, and it's the primary scriptures the Christians had after Jesus rose from the dead. So when Jesus rose from the dead and the book of Acts begins, there are no scriptures for the Christians other than what we now call the Old Testament. So whenever they're talking about scripture in the New Testament, they're only talking about the Old Testament scriptures, because they were the ones, unbeknownst to them, writing what we now call the New Testament scriptures. So everything the church ever needed to know about Jesus exists in what we call the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament has many literary genres: history, wisdom, poetry, pastoral or rabbinical care, and they are all various ways of telling the story of this covenant. I won't go through it all, but the Psalms are the ways that we pray into the covenant. The wisdom books are the way that we live wisely in the covenant. The history books are the way that we learn from the past in the covenant. The prophets are the ways that God keeps calling us back to the behaviors that we're supposed to be living in the covenant. All of this is encased in what we call the Old Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says to Timothy, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." So Paul tells Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for training, for teaching, and for living righteously. But keep in mind, when Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God, all Paul has is what we now call the Old Testament. He doesn't have what we call a New Testament. So again, the New Testament is Holy Scripture, but that's the work of the church for hundreds of years after Jesus rose from the dead. Before that, the Old Testament was everything the Christians needed to learn about Jesus. And so I hear people say from time to time, I only read my New Testament. That's not a healthy thing to do, because it's the Old Testament that has in it everything that the church itself learned from. And the Old Testament is the standard to which the church used to decide what books would be in what we now call the New Testament. But we'll get into that in a different class. What response did God require from his chosen people? So God made a covenant with his people. What response did God require from the chosen people? Remember, a covenant is a relationship initiated by God to which a body of people responds in faith. So what response did God require from the chosen people? God required the chosen people to be faithful, to love justice, to do mercy, and to walk humbly with their God. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 11 to 14. This is Moses reflecting on the tenets of the covenant to Israel. He says to the people of Israel, "And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess." Abraham has now become a nation. That nation has been delivered from slavery. That nation is now being taught by God how to live into the covenant that God made with Abraham. And God gave them the Ten Commandments as the original and most pure response of how to live in the covenant that God made. As time goes on, as with any person or people, we stray from those rules. And so Micah, in 6 verse 8, calls us back to the covenant. And it says this, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God." That is one example of hundreds of ways the prophets call us back to what it means to be a people after God's own heart and in covenant with him. The Ten Commandments are the essence of what God desires and what the prophets call us back to. So, the final question in this session is, where in the Old Testament is God's will for us shown most clearly? Where in the Old Testament is God's will for us shown most clearly? And the answer, God's will for us is shown most clearly in the Ten Commandments. The next session is going to be a discussion about the Ten Commandments. But as we learn and work through what is the Old Covenant and how do we read the Old Testament, I cannot teach it to you without teaching us how to spot Jesus in the Old Covenant. We need to have what is called a Christocentric view of all of the Old Testament scriptures. We should only read any of the scriptures in the Bible, for that matter, in light of the person of Jesus Christ. It is our only hope in obeying this covenant, because in a few weeks we'll talk about what the new covenant is and why it's good news and why it's a better covenant. But in order to know that, we have to know what the old covenant is. But in order to study the Ten Commandments, you have to know that Jesus is your hope. And here's why. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets," that is to say, the old covenant. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So there's something I want everybody to see here. The old covenant in the Old Testament is not something that God does away with. It's something that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, lives for us. So the old covenant is not evil. The old covenant is not immoral. The old covenant is not something that God throws away to start a new one. The old covenant is the life that Jesus lived on our behalf, therefore calling all of it good. And so what we have to know as a paradigm for reading Scripture is this. God created a person, and God created a people. There's Adam, and there's Israel. There's Abraham, and there's Israel. God starts with a person, and God also starts with a nation. So the life Jesus lived is both the life of the individual human that we failed to live. So that's why the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. But Jesus also lives the life of the nation of Israel that Israel failed to live, which is why Jesus goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. It's why he talks about himself being the bread that came down from heaven. It's why he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's revealing that he's the perfect human individual who lives the life we fail to live. And he in his flesh is also the embodiment of the people of Israel living the vocation that Israel failed to live. So Jesus is both the person and the nation. So this is going to be a little bit of scripture here, but bear with me here. In Genesis 15, God has just told Abraham that he's going to enter into covenant with him. And this is a weird text, but you need to hear it. And God said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But Abraham said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? God said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Now here's the key part that I want you to read. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces, between the pieces of the animals that he cut in half. On that day, the Lord God made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And you're probably saying to yourself, like, why does that verse even matter at all? Here's why. Because in that culture, whenever there was a covenant that was going to be made, much like now, when we're making a marriage covenant, we walk down an aisle. The difference is, in their case, the aisle wasn't this really nice aisle in a church. It was pieces of animals cut in half and put on either side. And one person would walk down, and then the other person would walk down. And when each person walked down, they would say, if I fail in this covenant, may my body become like these pieces of animals. In other words, if I fail, may I be killed. And so when Abraham cut the animals in half, he was about to walk down the aisle and say to God, if I fail, may my body become like these animals. All of a sudden, before Abraham could walk down that aisle, a mysterious smoking fire pot showed up and went down that aisle instead of him. In other words, God went down the aisle and said, Abraham, if you fail, my body will become like these. And what we see there is the beginning of the gospel. What we see there is the beginning of God saying, I'm going to live this covenant for you, and when you fail, I'm going to be the one torn in half. As a matter of fact, Jesus dies on a cross in between two pieces, in between two torn in half sinners. Jesus is there in between them. In Genesis 3:21, when Adam and Eve sin, they cover themselves with fig leaves. But then in Genesis 3, it says this, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." Why is that significant? Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves. God covered Adam and Eve with animal skins. Why is that significant? Because in order for God to cover them with animal skins, an animal had to die. In other words, God was saying, only with blood can you be redeemed. You cannot cover yourself with something that didn't die. You can only be covered by something that paid the penalty for the sin you committed. And so this is why in the New Testament, Paul talks about clothing ourselves with Jesus. Why? Because he's the one who died and is now the true skins in which we are covered. And then finally, Luke 9, 28 to 31. "Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which Jesus was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." Final point here is that just before Jesus dies on the cross, the entire Old Covenant, Moses and Elijah, the Law and the Prophets, they are there talking to Jesus about his departure, or in the Greek, they're talking to him about his exodus. Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus about how Jesus is going to fulfill the covenant that God made with Israel. And so we can't read the Old Testament without thinking about Jesus the entire way through, who is ultimately the only way that any covenant could ever possibly work. So as you learn these things, we're learning this because confirmation is us joining Jesus in the redemptive work of blessing all nations and all people. Let's take a 5-minute break and we'll be back for class 2 this evening.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.